Hello, I'm Mercedes.
And I'm Tash.
And you're listening to episode 253 of Chat Disney. Welcome, welcome to another episode of the Chat Disney podcast. And this week, we're going to be giving you a little bit of an update on some upcoming trip plans, which are primarily my plans to go to Disneyland Paris in just 2 weeks, which is not very long at all. But before we head into the main chunk of today's episode, we're going to have a little look at what's been happening in the world of Disney this week.
So it is a very quiet news week this week with just a couple of pieces of news to report on. So first up, Disneyland Paris, and some new artwork has been revealed this week for the Royal Banquet restaurant, which is going to be opening at the Disneyland Hotel. They've got some beautiful, beautiful pieces of artwork here. I definitely recommend checking it out. It's all original pieces that have been created, especially for the Royal Banquet, depicting some classic animations, Sleeping Beauty, we've got Frozen, we've got Princess and the Frog, etc, etc. Really, really stunning pieces. It has also been released the menu for Table Les Lumières, which is also going to be at the Disneyland Hotel. And the price of this, it's quite expensive. It's going to be €120 per person for a 3-course meal. Ouch. A lot of money, but there we have it. And finally, I did say it was a quiet news week this week. Disney have announced that tickets to the D23 Expo that is happening later this year in August in Anaheim will go on sale on March the 26th. They did also announce as well that the event for the first time will also be going to Sao Paulo in Brazil in November. And this is the first time that the D23 will have done any event in South America. So very, very exciting. And that sums up everything that has happened in the world of Disney this week. We're now going to move on to the main part of the episode, talking all about Mercedes' plans for Disneyland Paris.
So lots of awesome news there, Tash. Thank you very much for sharing. And now on to the main part of the episode, which is, of course, talking about my upcoming Disneyland Paris trip. And I can't remember what I've shared already, Tash. Refresh my memory. I don't remember if anything, actually.
You haven't shared a lot. We've definitely spoken about it, but we've spoken about it more from the point of view of not knowing what to expect. Obviously, it's your first trip of going with a young baby. This trip has come around so quickly. I did not realize it was 2 weeks that you went. I thought it was still like a month away. It's come around super, super quick. So yeah, I think when we talked about it before, you sort of shared, you know, where you're staying, who you're going with, ideas for dining, but you haven't gone into sort of any firm plans. So I'm really keen to know. I can't wait for you to go on this trip. I'm so excited for you because I'm so excited to discuss it. And I'm so excited to see if my theory about going with a younger baby is actually easier, which I know our babies are obviously very different. It might not be the same for you, but I'm really intrigued to kind of get your take on it once you've been. So let's talk about the trip. So just as a refresher, remind our listeners who you're going with and where you're staying.
So we are staying on site. My sister and her boyfriend are staying at the Cheyenne. I am not staying at the Cheyenne because I needed a pool for my baby. So that was out of the question. So yeah, I'm going with my mum, my sister, my sister's boyfriend, and my husband and my son. So it's a big family affair, which is not unlike your upcoming trip to California. So I can report back on that front. And then in terms of kind of, yeah, the baby thing, I hope your theory is correct. I actually just got back from Morocco, as I mentioned in last week's episode. I was dialing in from Morocco. So I have now done an overseas abroad holiday with my baby. And I think based on that, I mean, he's only going to be like 3 weeks older. that you're probably right. He's still super portable. The only difference, obviously, between your son and mine is that my son is now bottle fed, and your son was breastfed exclusively at this age. And bottles add a whole other layer of complexity, like making sure you've got the milk. I've also got the other added complication with my son that he has a dairy allergy. So I can't give him the pre-packaged milks. I have to give him a special formula, which means I have to have access to boiling hot water for potentially long periods at a time, which is really, really challenging. But I actually cracked that. So completely unrelated and not Disney, but if anyone is traveling with a formula fed baby anytime soon, please DM me on Instagram, because I don't want to brag, but I really feel like I've got that cracked now, and I really want to be able to share that with other people, because I was so stressed about that. But otherwise, it was such a doddle. Like, he's completely portable. He's just starting to get bored, but not like a, you know, a toddler or, you know, a 1-year-old gets bored. So yeah, I mean, he was easy. Like, he's very happy to sit on a sunbed for hours at a time and for you to just keep giving him the same toy over and over and over. So I feel like based on that, it'll be really simple. And then the milk thing, like, yeah, it does add a layer of complexity, but he's not weaning yet. So I've not got to worry about, like, oh, is there food he can eat? Like, that does make it really easy as well. So yeah, I think, touch wood, your theory will be correct, I think.
I hope so. I really hope so. I mean, yeah, I would definitely do Disney. I think if I'm, you know, fortunate enough to have a second child, I would definitely do Disney with a much younger baby than I went with before. So yeah, I think that you're going to have a great time. I think also you do have the benefit that you are going with other people. When I went with my son, it was just me and my husband. So if we wanted to go on any bigger rides, you know, Space Mountain, anything like that, we had to take it in turns, which is fine. But what I love about going on rides is obviously that excitement of doing it together. It's never the same doing it on your own, whereas you're in the position that you have got people. And, you know, I imagine your mum, for example, may offer to take Teddy off for a walk for a couple of hours or whatever, or back to the hotel for a proper nap, so you can kind of go off and let your hair down a bit. So I think that is a real, real positive.
Definitely.
Make a difference to your trip.
Yeah, the best things I packed for our Morocco holiday were the prep machine and grandparents. So I definitely, if you've got a young baby, would advise doing so. We're actually driving to Disneyland Paris as well, which means that we are taking the prep machine, we're taking the sterilizer, we're taking the Nextomy cot, which is actually Tash's son Theo's Nextomy cot, because I had delusions that my child wouldn't want a next to me cot, and he did. So we're taking that. We're literally packing up home and taking all of our home comforts just to make it as easy as possible. And I think grandparents are a really, really big part of that as well. And we actually, I saw my family at the weekend, and it was everyone that is going to Disneyland Paris. So it was me, my husband, obviously my son, my mum, my sister, and her boyfriend. And I was like, while I've got you all, and it was a really good question. It was a question that my father-in-law asked my husband and I before our Morocco trip. And I thought it was a really good question. So I was like, I'm going to ask all of them as well. And we kind of went around in a circle, and it was just a really simple question, which is, what's your expectation of this trip? Like, what do you imagine? And it's a really good thing to ask. And as I say, with my father-in-law, you know, my husband and I could have said, well, we want to have dinner together every night without our baby, and we expect you. We obviously did not say that. We had one dinner together the whole holiday, and we didn't expect it at all. It was a lovely luxury. But it's really, really important, if you are taking other adults and you're kind of anticipating that you might get moments alone, that they're aware of that. Funnily enough, with the Disneyland Paris trip, that's actually not my expectation at all. I don't expect to be apart from my baby, because I see it as like a family holiday, and like, it's Disney, it's for kids and whatever. But there are a couple of things that I kind of shared. So I'll let you know. So one of my expectations, or I guess is like not an expectation, I don't expect my sister and her boyfriend to stick with us the whole time. One of the complications, one of the things I'm most nervous about, is the fact that you can't take prams into the queue. So if my son has fallen asleep in the pram, I'm not going to get him out of the pram to get into a queue because he'll wake up and he'll be groggy and it will just not be worth it. So if he's having a 2-hour nap in a pram, that's kind of 2 hours of wasted time. And I would be very frustrated if I was my sister and her boyfriend to just stroll up and down Main Street for 2 hours because the baby's having a nap, right? So I've said to them, like, if you want to go off, I totally get that. To which they said, actually, our expectation is that we will take one of those naps, which was really nice of them to say. They were like, we're very happy to do a nap where you go off and we've got the pram. And that was really sweet of them to say. My mum said
I think the thing, like, sorry to interrupt, but I think the thing is,
right.
This is something that we had as well. And it was those moments where I remember literally our first day we got in, obviously grumpy Theo, got in and literally within about 10 minutes he was fast asleep and he slept for like a good hour and a half, and that was the time when we were like, okay, well, let's take it in turns, we'll go on Space Mountain, I'll wander around the shops. And I think actually we always talk about how we're fortunate enough to have been to Disneyland Paris many times, and one of the best bits is just walking around and taking in the atmosphere. What a perfect excuse to do that when you're just pushing a baby around in a pram. Like, you can go, you can take everything in. It's the perfect opportunity to do that. Go in the shops, go and explore, do whatever. So yeah, I think that's a really good idea. Really nice that your sister and her boyfriend have offered that as well.
Yeah, really sweet. I didn't expect that at all. And yeah, you're right. And that's the only thing I'm worried about, because he only does one poop a day, right? So if he's done a wee and we're in a queue, not an issue. If he's due a feed, I know when his feeds are. He's very regular because he is a bottle fed baby. So I know a feed's not going to come out of nowhere. I know what time a feed is. So if we're going to be in a queue, I can make sure it's prepared before and I can take it into the queue line. The thing that's going to bite us in the bum, because he's not in a fixed routine, is his naps. And he's a very, very good napper. He still has kind of 2-3 hour naps sometimes in the day. I am not going to start disrupting that, because when he has a nice 2-hour, 3-hour nap in the day, he has a very good night. So that's the only thing where, yeah, if he falls asleep in the carrier, happy days, right? Or in my arms even, I'm happy to stand in a queue with him asleep. It's if he falls asleep in the pram, I'm not going to get him out. But there's different options, right? I've just said, like you said, I'm very, very happy to walk up and down Main Street USA with a sleeping baby in the pram. My mum said she'd be very happy to go and get a coffee, and maybe that's the time when me and my husband go and do Space Mountain. My sister and her boyfriend said we're happy to take him for the odd nap and just have a push around of the pram, whatever.
I was just thinking there, like, do you have him... can you have him forward facing in the carrier? Because is that something you think you might do a lot anyway, so he can see more of what's going on?
No, unfortunately not. So at the time we go, he'll just be a week off 6 months. So we will be able to change his pram. I'm a bit nervous about that, because the idea of him facing out in the pram, I think, would be really, really good. Although I don't think I'd necessarily have him facing out at that age anyway.
He'll be sitting up, he can see upright,
exactly him. And like for the parade, I could turn him so he could see, so that would be really good. But obviously I haven't done that yet, and I don't know if he would sleep in it upright. I need to like test all of this out. But no, the carrier is much older, because I think they have to have like complete head and neck support. So no, he'll still be facing us in the carrier, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's a shame. But yeah. I think the added bonus of definitely having the pram with him being able to sit up again, that is why I think this is the right age to go. Yeah. Because if he's just lying in the bassinet, he's not going to see anything.
He won't see a thing, exactly. So we're going to change the pram before we go. And as I say, he'll be turning 6 months, like I think literally a couple of days after we get back. So it's ideal. So yeah, naps is kind of the thing that I'll definitely be reporting back on. Because obviously when you went, your son was having one nap a day, and we're still at a point where anything between 4 and 5 naps a day is quite normal for him. So we'll see. But I, as I said, I'm not nervous he's not going to nap, because he naps everywhere. It's what happens when we're about to get on Pirates of the Caribbean and he's fallen asleep in the pram, like that kind of stuff. But anyway, so that's fine. And then the other complexity that we're kind of dealing with at the moment, you mentioned kind of dining reservations and what are we doing there. It's actually not dissimilar from some of the things you've been talking about recently with your family going to California, in that I want to do Well, what do I want to do? I want to do like 5 character dines, obviously, but that's not realistic. But my husband and I at the moment are kind of flitting between, do we do 1 or 2? I'd like to do a fur and a face, ideally, but they are super expensive, more expensive than I remember, actually. So we're kind of weighing up which one we want to do. My mum has made it clear that she definitely wants to go and see her grandson do a character meal. It's something that she took us to do when we were growing up all the time. So it's like quite important to her. But my sister and my sister's boyfriend are really like, my sister literally will be listening to this right now, probably crying, because it's not a decision she's made easily. She really, really, really wants to go, but she just can't justify the expense. They are incredibly expensive. I've been looking at the Royal Banquet, which non-Disneyland hotel guests are allowed to go to for lunch. And it's, I think it's 100 euros per person. For an all-you-can-eat buffet, yeah, and Inventions was not that much. And then, like, for just to give an idea as well, the Lumiere table La Lumiere, which is exclusive for Disneyland hotel guests, that's 120 euros for a 3-course.
That is just, yeah. I looked at the menu as well, and that is just an obscene amount of money.
I would struggle to find food that I like. I would eat there, and I really would love, I would die to eat there, because it's the Disneyland hotel, because it's premium, because it's exclusive, and it's princesses, and you're overlooking Main Street USA. The food for me, I wouldn't be that bothered about. But when you're paying 120 euros to say I'm not bothered about the food, it's difficult.
Absolutely, 100%. So, yeah, okay, well, that's exciting. So you haven't booked anything yet, so you're kind of weighing up, which, if you did a second character dine, which, what would you do?
I'd like to do, so I think we'd definitely try and do Royal Banquet. I mean, hey, I'd love to do the Table de Lumiere. Your face character options at the moment, Disneyland Hotel Guests is the Lumiere one, and then there's also Auberge, which is more affordable, but still really expensive. The third characters, you've only got Royal Banquet and Plaza Gardens. And the Royal Banquet at the moment is like Mickey, Minnie, etc. They're saying that lunch is for everyone and dinner is for hotel guests only. But I'm not sure if that's correct, because on the app, if you're not staying at the Disneyland Hotel, it doesn't come up at all. So I think if you are going and you'd like to do a lunch at Royal Banquet, maybe try and call Disney, because it is just not showing up for people that aren't staying at the Disneyland Hotel. But my understanding is you can go there for lunch. So I need to look into that. And then, yeah, Plaza Gardens is like Eeyore, Geppetto. It's like, you know, the random ones that used to come out at Cafe Mickey, Friar Tuck, which I'm like, it's really expensive. Like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it in style.
Yeah, I agree. If you're paying all that money, like, I don't want to see these random characters that I am not that fussed about. You might as well pay a bit extra and get like some OG.
I think so. Yeah. So I'm leaning towards doing Royal Banquet if we just do the one, but as I say, I need to look into kind of booking that. And it's 100 euros per person, so my husband and I are going to spend 200 euros on that experience, and my son's not going to remember it. It's for us, right? It's not for him.
Oh, 100%. But that's the same with all these experiences in the first like, few years of their life, isn't it? It's for us,
but and it's like, just an obscene amount of money, isn't it?
It is an obscene amount of money, but it is a once in a lifetime thing. Like, it is his first trip to Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
Like, we're very much having this conversation at the moment with my trip to California and treating everyone to do character dining as well. And it's the same thing. Like, we're never going to have that holiday again. Like, this is literally a once in a lifetime experience. And yeah, my son's not going to remember it. My niece Freya, she's only going to be 3. She's probably not going to remember it. But like, for me, it's that whole thing of them being able to look back one day at those photos, at that video footage, and being like, oh yeah, like, that's amazing that you took us to that. Like, that must have been like, you must have really, really not cared about us, but like, you must have really, really wanted to make that trip really special.
Yes, absolutely. And I think It's a really difficult one, and this is kind of bordering on like a parenting podcast now, and I don't like parenting podcasts because they fill me with anxiety and dread. So I'll try and keep this brief. But it's that thing of like, one of the anxieties and the stresses that I have about being a parent is because I feel like my mum and my mother-in-law have done such amazing jobs of raising me and my husband. And we've both been really fortunate to have these incredible experiences. And I feel almost like, yeah, like I it's not a bad thing at all, but I feel really like it's really important that I do that for my son, because I loved, like, I got to eat in the Cinderella castle in Florida. Like, that was, and I was older, but I remember seeing my sister experience that at like 8. And it honestly, like, one of the memories in my life that I will never, ever forget. And even my dad, you know, my dad sadly passed away last year. So these memories have suddenly taken on a whole other meaning. And like, I remember the waitresses like calling him sir, because it's like a castle theme. And it's like, yeah, everyone's like sir and prince and princess and whatever. And I remember him just like absolutely loving it as well. Honestly, one of the fondest memories I have of my family is that meal. Cafe Mickey as well. I remember my parents took you and I when we were teenagers. My sister was really small and we were laughing at Friar Tuck. And honestly, like, character dining specifically is one of my favorite memories. And I think now that I know how expensive it is as well, and like, my parents, you know, I come from a working class background, like, my parents didn't have a ton of money, but they always made sure that we did something, whether it was a Cafe Mickey or even a Rainforest Cafe. Do you know what I mean? It was always a special, like, dining was special. Yeah. And I think that's why I loved like all the food and the snacks and the dining now. I think that's why I get so into dining. So yeah, it's really important to me to do that for Teddy. And he might hate Disney, or he might get to be 7 or 8 and be like, Mum, I'd rather go skiing than waste all this money doing, you know, I don't know. But if he does become a big Disney fan, or even, you know, half the Disney fan that I am, I'm certain he will look back and hopefully have those same kind of nostalgic memories that I have. Or, you know, say, I don't know, he's like, we're staying at Cheyenne and we're like, no, darling, we're not going to do character dine this time round or whatever, knowing that like he has eaten a royal banquet once. Like, he might not remember it, but knowing that like, yeah, you have eaten there, you just don't remember. So yeah, I guess that's kind of why it means so much to me. And it's the first one.
I mean, it's the same way that I feel about going to Disneyland Paris in its opening year, right? Like, I don't remember that trip at all. I was, what, 2? But, like, it's so special to me that I went in that opening year because Disney means so much to me. So, yeah, I very much think that hopefully our sons will both be really massive Disney fans. But I think, yeah, until they kind of start forming their own interests and opinions and say on what we do with our family trips, this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah, I'm actually really disappointed in both of us, because if we had been, okay, I need to word this like properly because it's going to sound jumbled, but if you and I had been to Hong Kong Disneyland in its opening year, then we would have attended every Disney resort in its opening year in our lifetime.
What?
Does that make sense?
No.
So we're really like fortunate that we both went to Disneyland Paris in its opening year, by the way. That's bizarre. So that's just a side note. But yeah, says a lot about our families. So yeah, we both went to Disneyland Paris in its opening year, and we both went to Shanghai Disney in its opening year. And yeah, so the only Disney resort that's opened in our lifetime. Yeah.
That is a very good point.
Go to in opening year was Hong Kong.
Yeah, that is true.
So I feel like if they have any more, we have to go in that opening year.
That's fine, done. So getting back to your trip. So remind me how long you're going for, how many nights, how many days in the park?
We are arriving on Wednesday. We're getting a super early tunnel, so we should be there by lunch. I have so like no expectations. We might have a swim that day and then go and catch the fireworks. I kind of like in my head, I see that. I think I've booked an early dinner that night at the hotel because it's a bloody pain in the arse trying to book restaurants for dinner in the winter. You can only book the hotels. You can't book in the park because it closes early.
We had when we went in January before, but so much stuff is closed. It's really difficult to just go with the attitude of like, oh, I'll just like grab something from a quick dine, because they're either not open or they're open funny hours. So it is really, really difficult to kind of do like that. So you do kind of need to know where
you're going. And with a 6 month old, I can't be running around in the potential freezing cold weather not knowing where our next meal is coming from. Like, I need to know that there is time reserved for us to sit in the warm, give him a bottle, relax, rewind. I need to know that we've got that sorted. So again, that's kind of where me and my sister differ slightly on this trip. When we're talking about expectations, she's like, I'm really happy to just see what I can get to eat. I'm not bothered. I don't want to spend loads of money. I'm like, no, I need a table booked every day, not lunch and dinner, but I need to know that there's at least one a day so that I know that I've got time to sit in the warm. Because the other problem that you get in January, as you were just kind of alluding to, Tash, around off-peak, is that because there's not many quick dines that are open, the ones that are open, typically Casey's Corner, you literally, you know, you couldn't swing a cat around. It's absolutely packed. There's no tables. The only tables they do have are outside where you're getting wet, cold, etc. Not suitable for a six-month-old. Not the environment I want to be in. So, yeah, the first night, we've booked an early dinner at the hotel with the hopes that we will get out on time to maybe catch the fireworks. So I think it might be like pool, dinner, fireworks. That's kind of what I imagine. But we'll see. We might not want to waste time in the pool. We might want to head into the park. I'm not sure. And then, so that's the Wednesday. Thursday will be a Disneyland park day. Try and aim for rope drop. Try and last till the end of the day. We'll see what happens. I've booked lunch that day at Captain Jack's. My mum's never eaten there and it's a dream of hers. So that's going to be really amazing. And then the Friday, so our second full day, but third day, will probably be Walt Disney Studios in the morning. And then maybe the park, the Disneyland park in the afternoon, maybe a swim. Keep it really, really loose. Would like to catch the fireworks again. Always want to see the fireworks. And I think that's the day that I might try and book a character dine lunch, potentially. We will see. And then Saturday's the day that we're going home. And again, adjustments for babies. I'm leaving a lot earlier than I would normally. I'd normally catch like the last tunnel home and get home at like 3 a.m. Not doing that with a baby. So the tunnel will get us back to the UK around 9. So by the time we drive back home, it'll be about 10, which I feel like is okay. He sometimes doesn't go to sleep till like 9:30 anyway. Which means we have to leave the park. I think like best case scenario is probably going to be like 1 p.m. just to be really, really safe, because don't want to get stuck and then can't get our tunnel because that'll just be really stressful. But that day is very, very TBC. So at the moment, we have booked a lunch at Cafe Agrabah, because my whole family love that kind of cuisine. We've discussed this before. You love that food as well, Tash. I'm not a fan, but I'm in the minority. Everyone else wants to eat there and it's really affordable and it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. So we've booked it. However, it's the first day of the new Symphony of Colour parade.
Ooh.
And they haven't announced the times. Now, this isn't a parade. This isn't replacing Disney Stars on Parade, the 5 o'clock parade. This is a cavalcade that pops up. It's in place of the old 30th one. So my guess is it will be on sort of four times a day. My guess is one of them will be 11 or 12, which means I should be able to catch it before I have to leave. But it will probably, I think our Cafe Agrabah reservations at like 12 and then we've got to leave at 1 or something like that. I feel like there's a very strong possibility we won't make the Agrabah reservation because of the parade. But I'm hoping they post the times of the parade ahead of time. It's literally the first day. So I also think it will be packed full of the influencers wanting to be the first ones to document the parade. But yeah, I that's like a non-negotiable for me. I have to catch that.
100%. I would be exactly the same as well. So that's very exciting. That you'll be
wonderful. Yeah. And obviously the new drone show is going to be on the Main Street Electrical in the sky, which my mum hates the Main Street Electrical parade. She hates the music. But I like it. I've got really fond memories of it. So I can't wait to see that. I've still never seen the drones at Disney because when I went for my hen, there was like some airspace thing. And then when my sister went the year after, the weather meant that there were no drones. So we're really hoping for drones.
Yeah, I didn't get to see them either because of weather. So it seems like it's very hit and miss as to whether you get to see them, but it looks incredible, that show. So my fingers are crossed for you that you get to see it on at least one of the nights that you're there. And then in terms of kind of bucket list things for your son's first trip, what sort of attractions, shows, like what are your kind of like your top five must-dos?
Top five. Okay. So meet Mickey, hopefully at a character dine. If not, then I'll probably pay for premier access because I'm not queuing 2 hours to meet Mickey Mouse. I refuse. And he has to see him before he goes. So meet Mickey. I think he's going to love the parade. He is so nosy at the moment. He absolutely loved the airplane. I was so nervous about flying to Morocco and he loved it because there's people all around and noises and he's just... yeah, he's into everything at the moment. So I think that the parade is gonna, like, I can just imagine his little face. So yeah, parade, Mickey, probably Small World. I hate it, but hopefully I'll rekindle my relationship with that attraction because I think he will love the song and the dolls and everything. I think he'll really enjoy that. The Dumbos, I think he'll really like as well. He loves looking out the car window, so much so that if we drive in the dark, he screams because he can't see, which I figured out. I had a sneaking suspicion that that was what was wrong. And then the other day I put a torch light on and he stopped screaming. So it's definitely because it's dark. So I think he's going to love the Dumbos. And then a fifth one, hopefully a little swim. He loves water. And yeah, I think they're my top five.
Nice, lovely. So it sounds like it's going to be a very different sort of trip.
Oh yeah,
being that one of your bucket list things is Small World and the other thing is a swim, which is something that, like, if you have time, maybe you probably
who
do.
Am I my bucket list things for me, not my son, are the Avengers Campus attractions, because that will be brand new for me, which is really exciting. The Main Street Electrical in the sky, the drones, really want to see that. Mickey and the Magician, I am cursed with that show. Every single time I go, it's closed. I am 100% sure it'll be closed for refurbishment because I just think I'm a jinx at this point. The new parade on the Saturday, yes, yes, yes. And it's going to sound really soppy, but I really want my mum to have a nice time. Yeah. She hasn't been away for a while, and I think my hen was a bit too fast-paced for her. So I'm looking forward to kind of... yeah, just I hope she has a really nice time.
Amazing. Well, I can't wait to hear all about your trip in a couple of weeks' time. I'm sure we will cover it in 2 or 3 episodes. There's going to be a lot to unpack here. Your experience going with a baby, what you did, what you ate, et cetera, et cetera. So there will definitely be a lot more to come on this for our listeners. So yeah, I can't wait.
I can't wait as well. And I definitely feel more confident now that we've had a holiday. Like, I don't even think I had like ideas that we'd have to keep going back to the hotel and stuff like that. I really don't think we will. Like,
you,
he's so
you really don't at that age, because like, if you're, and again, every baby is different. Like, I have some, well, Theo has some baby friends from like antenatal groups that were totally different to him in that they would not sleep in the pram. So their parents were always kind of stuck to a routine by making them nap in the house. Whereas if you're fortunate enough to have a baby who will just nap anywhere, it is so much easier. Yeah. But then Theo is now of an age where he won't nap in the pram anymore. He will only nap out and about. And if he doesn't, he will only nap at home, sorry. And if he doesn't have that nap, he's as grumpy as anything. So if I took him now, we would have to be making trips back to the hotel to accommodate his nap. So there is a ton of different things when you take small children to a Disney park. And I do think that taking them young is going to be easier than taking. I'm really excited. You know how excited I am about my trip to California, but I am also incredibly nervous about it as well, because my son is going to be 2 and a half. He's going to be a proper toddler. So yeah, it's going to be a very interesting experience.
But I think about
in a few months' time,
what I've learned from you and what I've learned from myself in my recent holiday, obviously very different vibe to a Disney holiday, but a holiday nonetheless, the things you worry about before are not the things that are issues. I was so worried about the plane, and I was so worried about bottles. Bottles was a piece of piss, honestly. Once I figured out what to do, it was easy. You just have to be one step ahead always. That's it. Fine, easy and controllable. I like things I can control. Plane, he was a dream. He loved it. He slept on the first flight, and then the second flight, he was just like smiling at everyone. He was like the entertainment. There's nothing better than when strangers come up to you going, "What a good baby." Oh, the validation. Love it. So that
I always say, me and my husband always say this, that the best place to take a baby, if you want to feel like you're a good parent, is the plane, because they get so much fuss, so much attention.
Yeah.
People are like,
everyone tells you,
take
it. That baby was amazing. And you're like, yeah, I'm bossing parenting. You should see him at 4 a.m. But anyway, so that was great. But the thing that I didn't anticipate was that keeping a 5-month-old out of the sun, or 4-month-old out of the sun, is nigh on impossible. And they're not allowed to wear sunscreen at that age because they're still so young that the sunscreen's too much for their delicate little skin. So trying to keep him in the shade, hadn't even considered how complex that would be. I'd pack loads of like short sleeve outfits, like an absolute moron. And then also he wouldn't sleep in the travel cot. So he was in bed with us for a week. And obviously that goes against the safe sleep guidelines. So that was really anxiety inducing as well. But I've learned from those things. We're taking the next to me cot to Disneyland Paris because he sleeps in it like a dream. And it will be cold. So no worries about the sun. But I'm sure there'll be another thing that I haven't thought about that will be, you know, and he's changing all the time. I mean, a month ago, he didn't get bored. He's starting to get bored now. So, we'll see what happens.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I can't wait to hear all about it in a couple of weeks' time. And that pretty much sums up the main crux of our episode today. We are now going to move on to our segment, which is going to be Ohana.
Ohana means family. Family means nobody
gets left behind.
So we have a slightly unconventional Ohana this week, and that is because the loved one who will be joining me for Ohana is actually not here. And you might be thinking, what on earth is going on? So let me explain. The guest for Ohana today is the lovely Laura. Now, Laura is a personal friend of mine and also a friend of the Chat Disney podcast. She stepped in for previous episodes where myself or Tash has been unavailable to record. So hopefully lots of you are familiar with Laura. And the reason that we are dedicating this week's Ohana to Laura is because she got in touch with us at the end of last week's episode by filling out the little Q&A that pops up on Spotify, if you listen to the Chat Disney podcast on Spotify. And she let us know that in 2024, she would love to see us go through a Disney A to Z. So going through the alphabet, naming Disney things. So a big thank you to Laura for getting in touch and giving us the idea. And I'm going to do just that for this week's Ohana. So you are very welcome. Now, this is something that I love to do in ride queues. It's one of Tash and I's favorite ride queue games. We've played it with Laura before in Disneyland Paris. It's also something I do when I'm struggling to get to sleep. So sometimes my husband and I will do it with, I don't know, countries, capital cities, whatever. Disney characters is always the most fun. So yeah, I'm thrilled that Laura has challenged us to bring this to the Chat Disney podcast. And as I mentioned, it is something I've done a lot of in the past. So with Disney characters A to Z, I'm pretty well versed, and I felt like that wouldn't be challenging enough for me in today's episode. So I'm going to go a step deeper, and I'm going to do my take on a Disney parks A to Z. So definitely play along at home. If there are any letters that I get stuck on, definitely write to us on Twitter, Instagram, get in touch, message us. Let us know what alternatives we could have had. But without further ado, I'm going to get stuck in now with Laura's idea, a Disney A to Z on the Chat Disney podcast with all things dedicated to Disney parks. So I'm going to start with A. I'm going to go strong with Anaheim, the original Disneyland in California, Anaheim. B, sticking with Disneyland, I'm going for beignets. Beignets are one of my favorite Disney treats, especially when Mickey shaped, and very, very synonymous with the original Disneyland park in California. C, I could just say California, but I won't. We'll go further afield. I'm going to go Castle. That applies to all of the 6 Disney resorts around the world. I'm going strong with Castle. D, heading over to the world of snacks. It's got to be a Dole Whip, the delicious pineapple soft serve that's sold in most of the Disney resorts around the world. It's got to be a Dole Whip for D. E, Epcot, one of the most beloved Disney parks in Orlando. F, the mascot of Epcot. Why change the theme? Let's go for Figment for F. G, I'm going to go for something that's not very popular, something that's actually quite hated amongst the Disney community. I'm going for Genie Plus for G. And then that leads me nicely on to H. H, what could I possibly have for H? I know, I'm going to go for the Hungry Bear, which is a quick dine in Disneyland in California. What's next? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, I. I is a difficult one. I could just go for something super generic like ice cream, but that definitely feels like a cop-out, especially when I've already had Dole Whip. I'm going to go for the Imagination Pavilion, which is one of the original pavilions at Epcot. I believe it is the pavilion that is actually the home of Figment as well. So there's lots of Figment coming out in today's Disney A to Z, but there we are. J is next. I'm going to take it to the Asian parks for J, Tokyo Disney Sea, and I'm going to go for Jasmine's Magic Carpets, flying carpets, whatever they're called, for J. What are we up to next? I, J, K, K, Kilimanjaro Safari, why not? That's our first Animal Kingdom thing. Okay, K, L, L. I'm going to go for the Lamplight Lounge, which is a lovely little restaurant in Disney's California Adventure. My husband and I went there in 2019 for cocktails. It was delightful. M, my favorite letter of the alphabet for obvious reasons. I'm going to go with Meeting Mickey Mouse. There's 3 M's for the price of 1. You are welcome. N, Navi River Journey, another little Animal Kingdom find there. It's the lovely scenic boat ride through the world of Avatar, Pandora in Animal Kingdom. O is an interesting one. I am going to go for, why not stick with O and literally have O Canada, which is the show in the Canadian Pavilion in Epcot in the World Showcase in Walt Disney World in Florida. O Canada, that's the best O I could come up with. Right. Oh, P. The Princess Pavilion, the meet and greet where you get to meet the princesses. Nice and simple one. Q. Is it Q? A, B, C, D, P, Q. Yeah, Q. Queuing. You could not go to a Disney park without queuing. So I'm going to go for queuing for Q. R. Radiator Springs Racers, I'm going for, which is in Cars Land in Disney's California Adventure. S. I'm going for Smuggler's Run, the Star Wars attraction that you will find in Galaxy's Edge in either Orlando or Anaheim, depending on where you are. T, I'm going for, I was about to say A Drink with Jam and Bread. That would not be Disney or Disney Parks, so we'll skip over that. T, I am going to go for the Tiki Room, of course, the Tiki Room. Traditional Disney park attraction. One of the ones that Walt created when he was alive. Let's go with the Tiki Room. STU. U is a difficult one. I am going... U is really hard. I am going for... U has really got me stumped. I bet you're all listening to this at home, shouting at your device with something at a Disney park beginning with you. You has really, really got me stumped. The Ursula animatronic in the Little Mermaid ride. That is honestly the best I have. If you have something better, definitely let us know because that is poor. But we're going with the Ursula animatronic. Okay, UV. Videopolis in Disneyland Paris. It's that huge, hideous kind of auditorium in Discoveryland. Videopolis. Okay, VW. Wilderness Resort. I know it's Fort Wilderness. Am I allowed that? Probably not. Whatever. I'm sticking with it. There's no one else here, right? I make the rules. So, yeah, we're going with the Wilderness Resort, Fort Wilderness in Walt Disney. Oh, could I just have Walt Disney World? That's probably too much of a cop-out, but yeah, whatever. We'll go with one of those two. Okay, so WX. I think I'm going to really struggle with X, and it's not interesting to listen to a podcast when it's just complete silence. So yeah, I'm going to skip over X. X is yours, you the listener. If you can think of something Disney park related, it can't just be generic Disney or a Disney character. It's got to be Disney park specific and it begins with an X. Please do let us know, because my brain cannot think of anything. X, Y, The Yacht Club, why not? It's a restaurant at Disney's Newport Bay Club Hotel in Disneyland Paris, the Yacht Club. Let's go for that. And that brings us to our final letter of the alphabet, Z, which I'm going to go strong with Zootopia Land, which is the brand new land that has just opened in Shanghai Disney Resort in China. So we'll go strong with Zootopia Land as our finisher. And there we go, Disney A to Z Parks Edition. Big, big thank you to Laura for virtually guest starring in Ohana today, I guess. And thank you for the idea. Now, if you are a Chat Disney fan and you're sat at home thinking, I've got a fantastic idea for the Chat Disney podcast in 2024, and you're wondering how to share it with us, there are a few different ways to get in touch. First of all, you could do what Laura did. You could let us know literally while you're listening along. If you listen to the Chat Disney podcast via Spotify, there is a little box, if you scroll down on the episode, that literally says, what do you want to hear from Chat Disney? It says something like that. I can't remember. It might even say, what did you think of the episode? There'll be a question. You can type into that box specifically any feedback, comments, requests, anything at all that you want to hear from the Chat Disney podcast to enhance your enjoyment in 2024. Because ultimately, this is your podcast and we want you to love listening to it as much as we love to make it. If you don't listen to the Chat Disney podcast on Spotify, why not? Joking aside, there are a few other ways to get in touch with us. You can email us at chatdisneyuk@gmail.com, chatdisneyuk@gmail.com. You can message us on Twitter or X at chatdisneyuk, or you can find us on Instagram at chatdisney. I'm on the socials as well, Mercedes Lois, across pretty much everything. So you can message me personally, whatever you like. We want to make sure that you get as much enjoyment as possible out of the Chat Disney podcast this year. So please do get in touch with us. And with all of that in mind, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We will be back with you next week at the same time, at the same place. Head over to chatdisney.co.uk to find all of the episodes since the beginning of time if you want to go back and re-listen to your favorite episode. But for now, it's time to say goodbye, and we look forward to seeing you. Hearing from you, or you hearing from us, you know what I mean, next week. Bye for now.
Thank you. Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.